This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. In the wake of the most recent General Assembly session, teachers across the state are expressing some concern over policies affecting their profession. The state ended the bump in salary that teachers get from a master's degree, and a voucher program that allows low-income students to attend private schools makes some wonder if the state has lost faith in public education. Here to tell us about how teachers are feeling are John Elliston. He's a reporter for the Carolina Public Press in Western North Carolina. Hello, John.
Hello, Frank.
Also joining us is Presley Baird. She's an education reporter with the Wilmington Star News in the eastern part of the state. Hello, Presley.
Hey, Frank.
Also with us, WUNC's reporter Dave DeWitt, who represents the entire state here in the central portion of North Carolina. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Frank.
Report came out saying that teacher turnover, this is turnover now, this is not exodus, this is turnover, is at a five-year high. Tell us about the report.
Well, it is at a five-year high. It's up about 2%. And that's not surprising to many people, but you know, you take this report with a grain of salt. A lot of the people who move out of a district move into another district. You know, the way that they do this report is they look at who was hired or who was working for this LEA, Local Education Administration, for when it was the year began, and if they are no longer working for that LEA by the end of the year, then they're counted as having turnover. So it's interesting. You look at different parts of the state, you see different impacts. It is up 2%, but really it's next year's report. We see hear all these anecdotes about teachers leaving, being disgruntled with all the activity in the General Assembly. Next year's report will be really telling, but this one does tell us some things.
Well, in the Navy, I think they talk about a bow wave and a stern wave, that little impulse you feel before the boat gets there, and the impact of the cuts and increased class size, of course, won't be felt, but teachers are talking about it. So what is the breakdown? I mean, how many teachers are leaving the state, or does it tell you that, and how many are just moving from one district to another?
It just tells you how many left a particular school district, then obviously the turnover in the state. It's a little bit below 15%. Like I said, that's 2% over what it has been last year. But in some counties, it's up above 30%. You look at Northampton and Halifax counties with 35%, 31% teacher turnover. And you try to, but if you try to draw some things out of this, you try to say, okay, well, the low income school districts have higher turnover. That's usually been the case, particularly in northeastern North Carolina, but also above the average rate is Chapel Hill Carrboro. So, you know, that's the highest pay, supposedly the best school district in the state, but they have above average teacher turnover. So there's a lot of reasons that teachers leave a school district, maybe to get a better job in a different school district. They go into becoming an assistant principal, a principal. There's a lot of reasons that people leave a teaching job.
All right, John, tell us about what the report says in your part of the state, Western North Carolina.
Well, what we learned, to the surprise perhaps of some here who are concerned about the issue, is that in Western North Carolina, our turnover rates are running a bit lower than the statewide average. We've got the second lowest turnover rates in the state as a region. That said, some of our systems are running above the average, so there's certainly some variance there.
And what are teachers talking about in your part of the state? We talked about these other kind of policy questions. Do they matter to teachers? Do you hear it come up much in conversation?
They do. I've heard as many concerns about budgetary and classroom size issues as I have about relatively new state mandates like Read to Achieve, wherein teachers who already consider themselves a pretty busy lot are taking on new systems that require a great deal more work when they're not receiving additional assistance, in their view.
Presley Baird, what are you hearing from teachers in eastern North Carolina?
Well, one of the biggest things that we're hearing down here, a lot of teachers are really frustrated with the General Assembly's mandate to move away from teacher tenure. And all teachers would move away from tenure by 2018, but districts are asked to pick the top 25% of their teachers to move off of tenure early. They'd move off of tenure by next year. They would move on to a four-year contract. By 2018, all teachers would be on either a one, two, or four-year contract. And a lot of teachers are saying, The biggest thing that we've had success with is collaboration. And if you're trying to pull out the top 25%, what does it say about the bottom, quote-unquote, 75%? How does it make us feel when we have to share ideas? You guys are really going to be dividing schools. That's one of the biggest things I'm hearing from teachers down here.
It sets up a kind of competitive environment, so you'd be helping somebody get out, and then you might be staying behind.
Exactly.
Well, I know we said that turnover doesn't mean exodus. It doesn't mean you're leaving the state or leaving the profession. But, Presley, you have interviewed teachers who are leaving the state or their profession. What are they telling you?
I have. have, yeah. I talked to three teachers back in September, two of whom left the profession but stayed in southeastern North Carolina. The other teacher moved with her husband, who was an assistant principal, to Pennsylvania for better jobs. The couple that moved to Pennsylvania, their salaries almost doubled as soon as they moved up north. And, you know, I talked to that teacher, and she said, I'm a North Carolina native, went to school at Appalachian State, have taught in North Carolina for 10 years, but we couldn't have a family on the salaries that we were making. It wasn't possible for us. That's the big thing that I heard from the other two teachers who decided to leave the profession but stay in the state. It was all about pay. It was all about being able to provide for kids that they currently had or try to have another kid, that kind of thing.
John Elliston, you talked about the state mandates and testing. Are there concerns about pay and about some of these other, about tenure and competition versus collaboration from the teachers you're talking with?
Absolutely, Frank. Last night, our largest school system, the Buncombe County School System, had its monthly school board meeting. And I noted that one or two of the more fervent speakers at public comment were longtime teachers who took issue with this new scheme to select out the top 25% for particular sorts of merit pay, and making a very similar point to what we've heard previously today, in that it could cast teachers against each other when they've gained so much by collaborating with each other.
Dave, let's turn to a lawsuit by the North Carolina Education Association. They're suing the state to stop its voucher program for private schools. What does the program do?
The program gives low-income students and families $4,200 per child to attend a private school. The state has mandated or set aside $10 million for the program for the first year. That would start this fall. They're going to start taking applications for this opportunity scholarship, they call it, or voucher program, starting in February. The lawsuit seeks an injunction against that, saying that the program takes away resources from the public schools, gives it to private entities, and that is against the state constitution, which provides for public schools.
Now, ordinarily, that's how a voucher program would work. You have a pot of money for education, and if you move some into vouchers, it comes out of the rest of the public system. This does sound like it's a separate pot of money set up for – am I right about that?
Yes, but because of the way that the budget has been set up, that money will sort of come out of the school system in other ways – basically for teachers and other things. So there is, while it isn't a one-for-one, there's money coming out of the budget in other places to pay for this.
I wonder if we can go around the state. I'll go back to you, Presley, because I know you've done some reporting on this. There's a controversy over a private school that's refusing to let in LGBT students that could have received vouchers. Tell us about that.
Right. Myrtle Grove Christian School is the school down here in Wilmington, and they came out with a policy in November. It's been about a month ago, saying that students and their families would have to sign a policy saying that they were not a homosexual family student or that they did not support a homosexual lifestyle. And that's the language that they used, was a homosexual lifestyle. And a lot of people were up in arms about that for a lot of different reasons. But a lot of folks said, you know what, they're a private school. If they want to have that policy, that's up to them. But can they then get the tuition vouchers? And the answer is yes. If you are considered a private school by the state of North Carolina, that means that you do things like make sure your kids have all their shots and make sure they take tests and make sure that your building meets fire code. And so if you meet those qualifications, you can get the tuition vouchers. The school recently said that they would not accept those tuition vouchers. So I have a feeling I'll be doing a whole lot more reporting on this in the next couple of months.
But that's voluntary, Dave. I mean, it is interesting to think about receiving public money for a school that has the right to discriminate if it's private. But we've seen certainly at the federal level, you can't, if you're a private institution that receives federal money, you can't do both. You can't continue to discriminate and still get public money.
Well, yeah. And what this all does is set up a lot of legal challenges. You know, the Supreme Court decided about 11 years ago that these voucher programs, I think it was a case involving Cleveland schools and the voucher programs there, that religious schools, Catholic schools and other religious schools could receive voucher money and it would be okay, you know, in the U.S. Constitution. It should be noted this lawsuit, though, is about the state constitution and whether public money can go to private schools in this state, given this state's constitutional status, you know, saying that public school, that there's a right to public education in this state. and that the state will pay for that.
I wonder if the feds could get involved in this at any level, if there could be a federal discrimination suit. I mean, it's state tax money, but it's also public money.
Right, and the current administration has shown an interest in getting involved in some of these. The feds have gotten interested in the case in Louisiana voucher system, so it's not out of the realm of possibility, to be sure.
All of this raises a larger question, and John Elliston, I'll start with you, and that is there's been an attack on the public school system, lawmakers calling it broken, a real push to privatize education. And I wonder if this is having an effect on teachers, a sense in their mind that that the state is abandoning public education and that this is not a friendly environment for public school teachers. John Elliston?
Well, it certainly posed that question for many of them. And I think what we're seeing, at least anecdotally, is that teachers, by and large, aren't terribly political people. But just within the past couple months, we've seen various groups of teachers and other advocates of public education rally and try to enter into a real dialogue with our state legislative delegation. It would not appear that dialogue's providing a lot of results, but the discussion is on. It's a bit polarized, but it's very active, and I expect we'll just have more and more of it in the months to come.
Presley Baird, are you getting that feeling from teachers that they're sensing a kind of hostile environment to public education?
Yeah, I am, and I think John's right about teachers who might not necessarily be political people. They've sort of turned into political people almost out of necessity, a lot of them are telling me. We had a couple professors down here at the University of North Carolina, Wilmington, who surveyed, I think they ended up surveying more than 500 teachers across the state from about 40 counties across the state, asking them about morale and about how they felt about the state of teaching in North Carolina right now. They were pretty overwhelmingly negative. Morale is low. We are not excited about what we're having to do from the General Assembly. We love teaching our kids, and we want to protect them from that, but it's hard to separate the two is what a lot of teachers were saying there.
Dave, what are you hearing when you talk with teachers?
A lot of the same thing, you know, and a lot of people wonder now sort of what the political heft is going to be from this. And you know, there are 95,000 teachers in North Carolina, more than 100,000 once you start counting in all the administrators. Maybe they're not a political group, but maybe it's a bit of a sleeping giant. And if these folks do start to vote based specifically on these issues involving education, what impact is that going to have next year being an election year in North Carolina?
Well, Dave, you've made education your focus, and you're running a series next week, and in fact all year, but the series next week on WUNC focuses on training teachers and talks about the different ways that teachers can be trained for this profession. Give us an overview.
Well, you know, it might surprise some people to learn there are more than 50 ways that teachers can get certified in North Carolina. They vary wildly in the quality of those programs. But if you look at it, you can break it down by basically three different portals to being a teacher in North Carolina. One is to earn an undergraduate degree and get certified through one of the UNC system schools or one of the private colleges. That's about one-third of all teachers in North Carolina. Another one-third are out of state. They've been certified in a different state, and they come here to teach. And then the last third are lateral entry or alternative entry, mid-career adults or other alternative entry programs for younger folks, and that's another third. So these programs all sort of vary wildly in the ability and how many teachers come in from each of these programs and how effective they are.
Has anybody done a study? Do we know what kinds of programs work best?
Fortunately, the UNC School of Public Policy did do a portal study last year to look at teacher effectiveness. Now, they looked at it almost exclusively from student achievement on tests, which, you know, whether that makes an effective teacher or not, it's certainly something that they are and will continue to be evaluated on. So it's an important factor. And we did learn some things about how they were trained and what their effectiveness is and how long they stay. And that's another important factor. If you've got a great teacher who came in from a certain portal, if that teacher only stays 1 or 2 years, then you've got that constant turnover that can be harmful in the classroom.
All right. What works best?
UNC system schools produce a lot of teachers in North Carolina. They tend to stay here a long time, and their students tend to perform above average. So you kind of think of that as the backbone. If you have one-third of all the teachers who stay quite a bit of time and their teachers do above average, that's really great. If you look at one of the smaller alternative entry programs like Teach for America, which is less than it's a half of 1% of all teachers, their teachers do very well when compared against other early career teachers, first or second year teachers. They do very well with student achievement in their classrooms, but Teach for America teachers don't stay around as long as some other teachers. So And then the lateral entry teachers, and they tend to be clustered in middle school and high school because you get a lot of folks who are bench chemists in RTP or somewhere else. They decide they want to get into teaching. They can take some education courses and get in the classroom and teach chemistry or engineering. They tend to do a little bit worse on student achievement, and they don't stay as long. Now, we all know some lateral entry teachers who are great. They bring an outside experience into the classroom, which is invaluable. But as a group, their students perform a little below average.
We have a clip from your series next week. Becca Townsend is a freshman at NC State. She's in a teacher education program there. And here's what she said about her reasons for becoming a teacher.
I have had a lot of people talk me out of it. I was debating between engineering and education for a long time because it's one of those things where a lot of teachers, especially if you want to teach at the high school level, have like the intelligence, as you would say, like to do another profession that might pay more. But I just like felt like this is where I was being led, and I really have a heart to work with kids especially.
That's a clip from Dave DeWitt's series, Training Teachers, airing Monday through Thursday on WNC. How typical is she?
Pretty typical. I mean, Becca's a student in the Ed 100 class at NC State. NC State has seen a little bit of a drop in enrollment first-year students in their education program, and that is we're seeing that a lot of the ed schools across the state, and that's a big concern. A lot of these students look at their career options, and if they're high-achieving students like Becca is and others, they look at engineering, they look at some of the sciences, they look at teaching, and where because teaching, you know, has been in the news and we hear a lot about the salaries and how they're stagnated and the tenure going away and other things, you know, they're not maybe political people teachers, but they pay attention and young people pay attention. And what's interesting about Becca and other teachers, young teachers in training I talk to, a lot of folks are trying to talk them out of teaching. Mm-hmm. That's interesting, I think, that we're going to see, you know, they have to have this sort of mission idea, go out and they really want to do this, and they've got to convince their parents and other people that this is a good idea.
Let's go around the state again and find out what's happening there. Presley Baird, we have been talking about active teachers, but do you get to talk with people in education programs, and are they expressing some either doubts or reservations about going forward?
Well, I don't get to talk to those folks much. I do cover UNCW, and so I talk to a lot of professors over there. They're seeing the same kind of drop that Dave was talking about, and the professors are saying, you know, this isn't something that's going to affect us next year or the year after. This is going to affect us when this year's group of freshmen graduates from college, so we're not going to see the effects until maybe 2018, 2019, later on down the line. I think, like we were saying, Becca is pretty typical. I can tell you from personal experience, my sister's an education major at UNCG. It's all she's ever wanted to do. It's what she was put on this earth to do, and nobody can talk her out of it, even though everyone is trying to right now.
Well, John Elliston, again, the western part of the state going forward, we've seen this little blip, a 2% rise in people moving around in the state. I mean, are there concerns about the long run for western North Carolina?
Well, of course, it's hard to say, but I would echo some of what Presley said from the teachers I've spoken with. They're a pretty long-suffering bunch. Things haven't necessarily been rosy for many years. And so perhaps it's a bit of hope that drives my next comment. But my feeling is that most teachers are going to stick with it come what may. That said, their level of disenchantment could reshape their profession in some important ways.
And Dave, when it comes to those training programs that you've been looking at, it sounds like there are many ways that you can become a teacher and various results in terms of student testing anyway. Are there changes in the works?
There are. You know, one of the things we didn't talk about was, you know, the Teaching Fellows Program was a very popular program. More than 4,000 North Carolina teachers went through the Teaching Fellows Program. It's a program that gave high school students college scholarships to then commit to teaching in North Carolina. That's being replaced by some smaller programs being run by Teach for America. They're untested. That's one reason that schools of education are seeing some lower numbers as well. You know, baby boomers are retiring. These portals, we don't know a lot about the quality of some of these certification portals, and we're going to look at some of these things and see that some of them are good and some of them are bad, but we're going to need a lot more teachers as we move forward because North Carolina is going to continue to grow.
We'll look forward to your series next week. Dave DeWitt, thank you so much. Education reporter and Raleigh Bureau Chief, thank you.
My pleasure.
Presley Baird, education reporter for the Wilmington Star News. Presley, good to talk with you.
Thanks, Frank.
And John Elliston, a reporter for the Carolina Public Press. Thanks, John.
Thanks much, Frank.
Just ahead, the music of Aaron Nenny Band. Please stay with us.
good day.